Suits and Sanders is a leadership and legacy podcast that seeks to address the key leadership issues in business, government, and personal or self-leadership. Our objective is to raise the awareness of the crucial role leadership plays in almost every tangible achievement of personal and institutional goals. At the core of our mission, we believe every person is born with a special gift to lead an impactful life and to massively contribute towards the success of the nation and our posterity. The name Suits and Sanders reminds us that great leaders are first servants. So we believe you're going to massively be impacted with the content we'll bring you, and we hope that you're going to maximize your potential with the objective of maximizing your contribution to the nation, but above all, to leave an impact on this generation and to the entire posterity. So join us on this journey. Hello, welcome to our last episode on the entrepreneurship agenda on Suits and Sanders. You're with me, your host, Moses Chavi. So we've gone through four episodes on the entrepreneurship agenda, and today we are tackling the fifth one, which is the big business idea and core industries. So I'd want to close through this one. It's one of the most exciting subjects that I've ever sat under, and people love to talk big business. Why? Because we're coming from a place where most of our parents, we know, are those who are able to sustain our livelihoods through business. We pretty much, most of us, what we saw was either a small business or we never even saw a business at all. So we're coming from a narrative of survival, most of us. I know that this may not resonate with everyone, but it's a reality on the African continent, in Malawi. In particular, most of the millennials will be the first generation entrepreneurs if they choose to go on the entrepreneurial journey at all. So me personally, I'm an advocate of the resonating big business idea. As Malawians, we need to get wary, honestly. We need to get wary of the norm that only foreign investments and multinational brands have the ability and capacity to create big local businesses. Although the size of the business is better defined by the nature of its industry, big businesses in our context would mean enterprises that have the ability to employ more than 500 people, for example, and rake in a minimum annual turnover of 10 billion Malaya kwacha, which is not much at global or regional levels, trust you me. But locally, if you are a family business or a local partnership who are able to make these amounts, it means you are a big business. I'm using the average performance to facilitate this discussion, to be honest. I know there are people who would already listen to this and say, oh, 10 billion is nothing. Otherwise, in other industries, for example, oil and gas, mining, financial services, meaning banking, insurance, and all, a company employing more than 1,000 employees and making maybe 50 billion per year may still be considered a small business, let alone in most medium to developed economies. But let's start from where we are here in Malawi, locally, our type of industries. So if you're making 10 billion, obviously you are a big business. You can employ lots of people. You can sustain lots of families. So in our economy, there is a proliferation of lifestyle entrepreneurship that is propagated in part by the tenderpreneurship and a deep-rooted but unfortunate culture of cronyism, friends, you know, where deals and businesses are given to the people, you know. It's quite unfortunate if the tenders are government and they only go to the people that are known and connected. It's quite unfortunate. So businesses operating in this space characterized by huge amounts of free cash, mostly dubious products and services, massive corruption, briefcase businesses, lack of accountability, absence of purpose and planning, no or minimal employees at all, just a briefcase, right? And their proceeds are meant for lavish lifestyles, hence termed lifestyle entrepreneurs. This is one of the biggest cancers that has burdened our economy with a massive lack of creativity and productivity. Cheap tenders have meant an influx of imported cheap goods and the killing of our local industries. honestly, it pains a lot if you, when you see lots of liquid quiches getting into hands who have no establishment at all on the ground, only briefcase. You order goods from outside, you import, you deliver, you get your money, and you go on and enjoy a big lifestyle. Honestly, it's painful. There are lots of people who are working hard on the ground who, if their businesses were supported, their small ideas would easily turn into big business ideas. But because they are overlooked, then they cannot get the funding they need, they cannot grow their enterprises, then they remain small. Very unfortunate. It is not arguable that in order to turn our economy around, we are desperate for as many Malawians as possible to commit to the resuscitation of the vandalized and shut down manufacturing enterprises that were already thriving from the early 1900s until mid 1990s. Remember, you may recall before we gained democracy, not gaining independence. I was about to say gaining our independence, but before we became a democratic state, we had massive industries. But after that, leadership happened. If not just leadership, then leadership crisis happened. It's an open thing. Then we need to restore the lost years from that time to 2020s. We need to restore those years. Remember the redeeming the time? We need to redeem the time. We need to recover what we've lost as a nation. Real productivity, growth, massive GDP contribution, viable and sustainable ventures, and real job creation lies in manufacturing. I can't say this enough, trust you me. Service industries bring in lots of money, and tech startups bring in money if you have a vibrant economy that can support some sort of a Silicon Valley. All right, you'd have lots of money coming in. But I believe if we all spend our time on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube and generate revenues, but fail to take those revenues and put them back on the soil and produce something like develop our agricultural prowess or develop manufacturing plants and buy our raw product and crush and produce food, produce clothing, produce metal on the land, then what we are doing is we are failing to produce a viable and sustainable economy. Even if you got your first breakthrough in a briefcase venture, your second round of investment must target manufacturing. That's my advocacy. We need to turn our eyes towards manufacturing. That's where big business is. That's where big business is. We need to think about canning our tomatoes. We need to think about drying our fruits and packaging them. We need to think about producing lots of milk products on the land. We need to think about producing snacks and whatever we eat and adding value even to the meat products. We can do this. So whatever you do, it doesn't matter what you're manufacturing, honestly. Just make sure you're manufacturing something, and that's it. From food to electronics to agricultural equipment to motor vehicles, robots, toys, solar panels, just get busy. Honestly, we all need just to get busy. So we have a shared responsibility, ladies and gentlemen. We have a shared responsibility. We owe our generation a huge responsibility to generate and offer solutions to the many challenges faced by our national economy. We all have a role to play in this nation building mandate, and we will be answerable to our posterity. Honestly, we will be answerable to our posterity. Just as sometimes we sit and talk about where are we coming from. Obviously, we had sincere parents, sincere grandparents. People worked hard for us to even be able to be where we are. For me, just to be able to be on this podcast, attain an education, learn some sort of a trade, travel around the world, learning about different cultures and learning about different industries. It took my great-grandparents to live well, you know. It took my grandparents, my parents, to live well and to provide for me, and so many guardians who've been around me to sustain this. And I believe it's the same thing with your lives as well. So we need to know where we're coming from and to appreciate that. And we now have a responsibility for our today and our posterity. Wherever we're going to, what are we going to leave as a legacy? So on Suits and Sandals, these are the subjects that we address. You know, authentic leadership and legacy. We can't just lead a life here and there and not really have a vision of where we're going and what we're going to leave for our for the next generations. So though we believe that we'll eat the fruit of the land in our time and that we will live large in the land of the living, we also have a larger faith that we will leave behind a better nation and legacy, a country that will no longer be defined by its insignificance, poverty, poor leadership, shaky governance structures, nepotism, poor education systems, dilapidated or non-existent infrastructures, poor medical care, and food scarcity. And that is in a land particularly blessed with everything beautiful and endowed with a natural affinity to agricultural productivity. In this land, if you drop a mango seed anywhere, expect to find a mango tree next year. Literally, trust you me. In our pursuit to seek personal or family comfort, peace, and tranquility, let us also be burdened by the national mandate to rebuild the fallen walls of our country. As the saying goes, the rich people who get busy constructing high walls around the houses with the objective of keeping the poor away will soon be run over by the surrounding poverty. I'll say that again. The rich people who get busy constructing high walls around their houses with the objective of keeping the poor away will soon be run over by the surrounding poverty. Said differently, it is not enough for the 5% well-off individuals to build security around their homes whilst the 95% perpetually lie in wait for a better day. That day may indeed arrive, but who knows who will join who? Who knows? But why should we wait for that exchange when all of us can take a shared responsibility to do something today to change the direction of our nation? We need more encouragement, not jealousy or envy. We need more faith, hope, and positive energy, and not pessimism. We need more action and not cheap talk, handouts, or political jargon. We need more contribution and not siphoning and financial leakage. We need more love and not hate, slander, or malice. We need more vision, persistence, and purpose and not blind following. We need more recognition of talent and ability and not cronyism and nepotism. We need more of each other than the rampant divisions. We need to build a nation. Trust you me. It will take concerted efforts and clear resolve to push the entrepreneurship agenda with aggression and focused intentionality. In this pursuit for excellence, only one thing is for sure. Where grace abounds, the doors of greatness have to give way. Whether today or tomorrow, we will not grow weary. So all the best as you make a resolve to push this economic advancement and entrepreneurship agenda in your own quarters, in your own family, in your own society, in your own network, but for the purpose of bringing up and developing our land, sweeping out and taking out all the chaff of poverty and shame, insignificance. We all can come together and change the narrative of our nation. So until we meet again in the next episode on Suits and Sandals, I'm saying to you, God bless you.